Chapter 16, Sunshine Empowered. I stayed in Texas a few more days. I wanted to make sure I was reacting to God's persuasion and not to my own frustration and fatigue. I missed my family so bad, especially Dean and Darren. I was full of conflicting feelings, still asking God, is this it? Is this all? No resolution? It really ends here? Eventually, I became convinced that I could go home, and at least for now, my job was done. Before I left, I went one last time to the place where Sunshine was murdered. It was painful to go there, and as I pulled up in the driveway, I wondered why I had chosen to come back. Was God leading me here, where my Sunshine's last breath left her body? I went through the main door and into the little room where it happened. The walls had been painted, but I could still see traces of the satanic symbols that had been written on the walls in the blood of my sweet girl. The horror of her ordeal flooded my mind again. I said to God, "Where is the justice in all this? Remember when that pastor said to Sunshine and me that she had a mighty work to do for God and told me to prepare myself? Is this what you revealed to him? Was this Sunshine's mighty work, dear Father?" I was able to reconstruct most of what happened to Sunshine from what I was told by the many, many people that I talked to about her and about the situation. But first, here's what I learned about James and Helen. James was born to a very wealthy family on the East, raised with the best of everything. After being educated in private schools and graduating from West Point, he served as an officer in the military. He has a highly charismatic personality, warm and outgoing. He dresses well and appears to have everything going for him. Helen's grandparents were from Haiti. She was raised in the Mideast by her grandmother. She is tall, thin, and elegant looking. She managed to raise herself to height of respectability by her appearance. She claims her uncle is an attorney in this city. She's very straightforward, projecting, and authoritative, and has an intimidating persona. Now I'll pick up where we left off at our departure for Florida. As we drove off, Sunshine, Rick, Sissy, and all of her children were waving goodbye to us. Then Sunshine turned to Sissy, put her arm around her. "Oh, Aunt Carol, I missed him already. I know I've made the right decision. I know this is what God has told me to do." She began to cry, and Sissy hugged her. "It's only for a short time, Sunshine. In 7 weeks, we'll all be together again." Sissy and her kids started back for their home. Sunshine noticed a little white kitten near our house. It had begun hanging around for the past few days. It was a little wild and hadn't had anyone pet it or pick it up. Sunshine went across the road to the kitten and knelt down within a few feet of it. "They're gone now, Kitty," she said. "No one lives here anymore." The kitten came up to her and rubbed against her ankle, and she picked it up. "I'll take care of you," she said, holding it against her face to feel the fur. "It's okay, Angel. You're not alone." She put the kitten gently down on the grass, and as she stood there, it scampered off into the woods to the next house. Rick then left for work, and Sunshine went back to Sissy's. She told Sissy she was going to start looking for a job the next day, that she needed to make as much money as she could for the trip and for their new home. The next day, Sissy asked her how the job hunting was going. "Well, I see a couple of ads I could call about," Sunshine said. "I kind of hate to start a new job knowing I only have 6 weeks, but we could use the money." Yes, it takes a lot of money to set up housekeeping, and some new experience will do you good, sunshine, Sissy told her. 2 days and 3 interviews later, Sissy asked again how things were going. Okay, I guess. On one interview, the lady said she was really looking for someone with more experience, but she'd keep me in mind. The next afternoon, Sunshine reported, the man said my educational background is good, but I only look like I'm about 14 years old. Susie said, did you show him your driver's license? I offered to, but he said he needed someone more mature. Oh, well, I guess I'll keep looking, Sunshine. She did for several more days. In the evening, she came to feed the kitten and talk with Sissy. I saw an ad today in the paper. I'm going to call about it. It sounds right. What is it? The ad said, receptionist secretary, no experience needed, well trained, wholesome qualities, excellent earning potential, relaxed environment, and then the phone number. That sounds good, Sissy said, but be sure you're fair to them. Tell them that you'll be leaving in 6 weeks. Oh, I will, Aunt Carol, you know that. I'll be totally upfront with them. The next morning, Sunshine called for an appointment, hoping that she could get an interview that day. A woman answered the phone. Morton's Roofing and Construction Company. Sunshine thought, bingo, a construction company. Mama and I just work for one of those, so maybe I have a chance. I have some experience already. She made an appointment to be interviewed that afternoon. She was told that James and Helen owned several businesses, often worked out of their home, and needed someone there because they were frequently out of town and wanted someone they could depend on and trust. Preferably a Christian. They wanted them to stay at their house, answer the phone, and do general office work and household tasks. Right on time, Sunshine arrived at the home of Helen and James. Helen immediately said she liked Sunshine's appearance and attitude. Then, as she had always done, Sunshine said, "Ma'am, I want you to know I'm a Christian, and I won't do anything that would jeopardize my relationship with God." "That's perfect," Helen said, "just perfect." Sunshine gave Helen her personal references, our pastor and his wife, and a few other members from church. Then she told her of her education and work background. She explained that she could only work for 6 weeks because her family had gone to Florida and that she and her fiancé were going to join them. "That's all right," Helen said. 6 weeks are better than none. We need someone right away. My husband and I need to go out of town this weekend, and we need someone to stay here." "I can," Sunshine said. "I'll answer your phone. I'll even do jobs around the house if you like." "Great, you're hired," said Helen. "My mama has always met my employees, but she's not here now. Would you talk with my Aunt Carol instead? I know it would make my mama feel much more comfortable this way." Helen agreed readily. Then she showed Sunshine around her beautiful home. There was one large, lovely bedroom she said Sunshine could use if she wanted to. After an hour or so of conversations, Sunshine mentioned her Aunt Carol again. "Would you talk with her?" "Sure," Helen said. "Let's go. We'll have some lunch, and we'll drive out there. I'll convince your aunt that you're in good hands." Helen brought Sunshine lunch, and the two of them went to a restaurant. Then they drove to Sissy's. Sissy noticed the unfamiliar car coming up the driveway. When she came out of her house, she saw Sunshine getting out of the passenger side. "Hi, Aunt Carol. This is Helen, my new boss. We just came to talk with you since Mama's not here." "Hi, Helen," Sissy said. "Please come and visit for a while." They went to the lawn chairs where Sissy usually entertained at the big oak tree in her park-like yard. It was full of flowers and perfectly groomed. Comfortable and inviting, Sissy looked at Helen. Sunshine did tell you that we'll be all going to Florida soon, right? Yes, we'll be leaving in about 6 days, and Sunshine and Rick will leave in about 5 weeks after us. I know, she explained. Sunshine explained all that to me, Helen said. Sissy, being Sissy, began telling about Helen about God. She even went and got her guitar, and they sang Christian songs. Sunshine was obviously very happy at how things were turning out. Soon, Helen said it was time to go. She had to get back to work, and James would be coming home soon. Could Sunshine start work immediately? She wanted James to meet Sunshine and make sure that Sunshine was familiar with her job by the weekend so they could leave without worry. Sunshine said she wanted to talk with Rick first and pick up some of her things that were with him. Helen said she couldn't stay and wait until Rick got off work, but they would stop by Rick's house and get some of Sunshine's things, and Sunshine could call Rick later that evening. Sunshine also asked Helen if they could stop by her cousin Tinker's later that evening, and Helen agreed. Then they left Sissy. They all said goodbye. That evening, Sunshine knocked at Tinker's door with her two new bosses beside her. Tinker, I'd like you to meet James and Helen. They own a construction and roofing company, and they just hired me today. Tinker was confused as to why they were there with Sunshine. What is your job, Sunshine? What were you hired for? Well, Helen said I'm their personal secretary. They need me to stay in their home and do stuff there. They have a really nice house. Helen showed me a bedroom I could use. It's really nice, Tinker. I know it will work out fine. I took Helen out and asked your mother, and she seemed to think it was okay. Tinker invited them in and offered them refreshments, but James declined. We really must be going. You want to get your things, Sunshine? Sunshine said, yes, sir, and went to the back bedroom she had been sharing with Tinker's daughters. She came back out with her suitcase. Let me give you my new address and phone number, Tinker. Good, Sunshine. Well, James and Helen, it's nice to have met y'all. Take care of our Sunshine. We will, Helen answered, and the three of them left. After unpacking her things at James and Helen, Sunshine called Rick and told him about her day. Rick was very ill at ease over the urgency Helen and James had expressed about Sunshine moving in with them. But he said he understood. It did seem like a good opportunity for her to work and save money while they were waiting to leave. Helen and James took Sunshine over to Tinker and her kids one more time. It was Tinker's impression that whenever she tried to talk to Sunshine, Helen would interrupt and dominate the conversation, and Sunshine stayed quiet. Tinker knew something was wrong. She could feel Sunshine's wounded spirit, but with her four kids and all of her own troubles, she let it pass. She attributed Sunshine's mood to her missing the rest of the family, waiting for the weeks of waiting to be over. No one could tell me much about what happened to Sunshine before the night she was murdered. She showed up at Tinker's alone once and told Tinker about all the things that Helen and James had done to her. They had beaten her many times, had her locked in a room very, very much, and once they were there in the car on the way to the house on the south side, Sunshine was in the back seat and Helen and someone else was in the front. Sunshine began quietly singing a Christian song and Helen went into a rage. She stopped the car in a parking center, pulled out a gun and beat Sunshine with the gun. Then she showed Sunshine one of my letters and said if Sunshine didn't straighten out, and didn't do what she was told, that she had my address and would get on a plane that night and kill me and the rest of the family before evening. Sunshine did escape from them that evening and swore out a warrant for Helen's arrest. It's documented. But James and Helen were waiting for her in their car outside the police station. How did they know that she was there? They had to have had warning. They dragged her into the car and beat her again very badly. They told her they weren't going to beat her to death that night because they had something special in mind for her. She also told Tinker that they took her to a place on Southside and left her tied up there in a small room for 3 days before they left her loose. Helen brought in the kitten that Sunshine had been looking after. She cut the kitten's throat and smeared its blood all over Sunshine's face. Then, a couple of weeks later, they took her to Las Vegas with them. She knew something was going to happen to her because one of the people who met them at the airport asked whether she was the girl, and James said yes. So, after they registered in a hotel, Helen, with the two men from California, went down to a casino. Sunshine seen the opportunity while James was in the restroom. She fought with him for a little bit, but she got away. She ran and walked down the highway towards a small town nearby. Why didn't she go to the police? Because in Texas, she had been told over and over by James and Helen that the police would not help her. In fact, the police hadn't helped her. On the highway, she met a Christian who offered to buy her a bus ticket. In her purse, I found a note that she had written to herself. It said she owed this man money. Sunshine came back to Texas and went straight to Tinker's and told Tinker everything that had just happened to her. James and Helen, of course, had flown back to Texas by this time. They got to Tinker's place before Sunshine. As incredible as it sounds, and you have to understand the audacity of these people, they're not stupid, but they knew they had so much pull. They had already gotten away with many murders, so they were not backwards about proclaiming what they were going to do. They told Tinker they were going to kill Sunshine. Helen told four of Sunshine's friends, and I learned this from the detective. The four friends gave statements to this effect. Naturally, Tinker with her four kids were scared to death of these people. So she left Sunshine. When Sunshine arrived there, Tinker had told her that she couldn't stay. He suggested that Sunshine find Rick and get out of town immediately. Sunshine said she would and left Tinker's. Rick was out when Sunshine called. She didn't know what else to do. James and Helen had gone to a lot of trouble to convince her the police wouldn't do anything to stop them. Around this time, Helen was at Miss Vaughn's waiting for Sunshine to show up there. On her way back to Tinker's, Sunshine stopped at a church, but it was locked. She had nowhere else to turn except Rick's home. So from Tinker's place, she took a bus and got off at the convenience store that all of us used to go to. No one there had seen Rick that night. She went out to a phone booth and called Rick again. The information I have for this point was given to me by Helen herself as well as the others who were there. Helen and James were aware that we all used this convenience store. They went there to look for Sunshine and found her standing at the payphone. James got out of his car, threw a cord around Sunshine's head and around her throat, twisted a cord, and yanked her back into the car. Helen sped off to a place that they had just a few miles from there. Their fellow Satan worshippers were waiting for them. I already mentioned that Helen is from Haiti, or from Haitian descent. She not only has taken up some of their traditions, traditions, but incorporated some of her own. 200 years ago, some Haitians made a pact with Satan on the third week of August, and now, during that week, their commitment was reaffirmed by the offering of human sacrifices. Helen told me that she and James were greatly elevated in power and given 50,000 souls to rule over because of their sacrifice of sunshine. The sacrifice of a Christian is supposed to increase their power especially. They dragged Sunshine by the cord around her neck to where the four other Satan worshippers were waiting. The room was lit with candles. They had drawn a pentagram on the floor and pasted a chair in the center of it. They stripped Sunshine of all of her clothes, tied her to the chair. It was important to them that she proclaim or deny that she was a servant of Jesus Christ. "I want you to tell them what you are," Helen yells at her. "What do you mean?" Sunshine asked. "I want you to tell them what you are," she shrieked. Then Sunshine understood what they wanted to know, and she shouted, "I am a Christian. I serve my Lord Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me." Helen, who had been standing there holding a large dagger, now raised the dagger in the air and with both hands and looked at each other, who nodded in turn for her to go ahead. They had heard it from Sunshine's own lips. Helen turned around with the dagger and slit Sunshine's throat. Sunshine then cried out, "Mama! Oh, God, help my mama." She went on reciting the 23rd Psalm. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Beloved, let me stop here for a moment. I want to apologize for crying, but I can't read this without reliving her torture, reliving her sacrifice. I asked you to forgive me for this. This is a true story. I will try. She was now bleeding profusely from the jugular. They walked around in a circle around her, chanting their praises to Satan, each one with a chalice in his hand. Then they stood in a circle around her, each one chanting in turn. One by one, they came forward and put the chalice to her throat, filling it with blood. Then when the chalice was full, they chanted again, putting the chalice to their lips and drinking some of Sunshine's blood. With more of her blood, they wrote symbols on the walls proclaiming Satan and scattered the rest of the blood around the room. They hadn't expected Sunshine to keep saying the 23rd Psalm. It made them mad. It offended their ritual. They took turns hitting Sunshine with a claw hammer, counting the blows. 39. Hitting her with a claw hammer, they aimed mostly for her mouth and face. Because she was still reciting, her face and jaw were completely crushed. Yet she continued repeating the 23rd Psalm. In the natural, this should have been impossible. So now they were really infuriated. Helen told one of them to go get a board and some nails, and they untied her. Her blood-covered body fell to the floor, and they tossed the chair to one side so they could put the 5-foot length of the 2x4 in the center of the pentagram. Helen screamed orders. They positioned Sunshine on the board. They had some difficulty getting her hands apart out of the prayer position. They tied her arms to the board, so they broke one of her arms with the hammer. Sunshine turned her hand over to clutch the 2x4, then Helen hammered Sunshine in the wrist. Helen hammered nails into Sunshine's wrist. Only God knows how Sunshine managed to continue repeating the 23rd Psalm. She tried to slide herself off of the pentagram, and Helen insisted they pull her back in, not by her legs, but by the board she was nailed to. They tortured her for about 3.5 hours. I don't know how long it was supposed to last, but they were interrupted when one of them said he saw a light coming under the door. He thought it was an approaching car, and they hurried out of the room to check. He returned saying, "There's lights out there. Someone's out there. Let's get out of here." Helen screamed at them to take Sunshine off the board. They pulled the nails and untied the rope. They then all ran outside to where their cars were parked around the back of the house and drove away. Someone had called the police. I don't know who she was. From what I gather, she was found murdered 12 days later. I wasn't told whether she was involved or whether she worked for James or what, but the police did arrive. Meanwhile, James and Helen had gone back to their home and changed their clothes. They returned to the place on the south side where they told their story that's on the police report, that Sunshine was staying there and someone had broken in while they were out, and so on. This is what was put on the original police report. Sunshine was still alive, although barely, and still murmuring the 23rd Psalm when the police arrived. The detective bent down to hear what she was saying. Her last words were, "God helped him." At 6 o'clock Sunday morning, Sunshine went home to be with the Lord. Right now, throughout the world, for the first time since Noah, murder is the number one cause of death. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall it be also for the coming of the Son of Man. Matthew 24:37. I can't begin to tell you the pain I feel knowing in what my little Sunshine went through. But truly, it is overshadowed by the joy and pride I have in knowing where she is now.